Following interview by Elaine B. Holtz of Dorothy Beatty, candidate for Santa Rosa City Council District 4, was recorded as a live broadcast over Radio KBBF 89.1 FM on October 15, 2018, between 3 to 5 p.m. She was one of six candidates interviewed that day, and each candidate was asked the same questions. Audio engineering and editing is by Kenneth Norton.
Well, welcome back to a special election coverage sponsored by KBBF, your local community radio station. You know, folks, I just want to remind you, please go to kbbf.org, look up at donations, become a member. Do you realize how valuable it is that we can get here personally from all these candidates? It takes time. It takes money. Everybody here volunteers. I volunteer. I love my community. That's why I'm here. That's why I want to present all these people. We donate to KBBF every month, besides do the show. Because this is a very, very important station, and I really encourage you to do it. Well, welcome back, and I have sitting across from me is Dorothy Beatty, and this is the first time I've met Dorothy. Hello, Dorothy. Glad to meet you.
Hi, Elaine, and thank you very much for having me, and thank you very much for doing this.
Oh, it's wonderful.
And you must be really powerful around here because you got seven people to show up on time.
I don't know about that.
Great job.
I don't know about that. They all want to get their voice. And I want to tell my listeners a little secret about you, that this is the first time you've been on radio. And I love it when I have a first-time woman on radio. I think it's so exciting. So welcome, Dorothy. Welcome. Welcome here to KBBF. So you got the questions that we asked you. And like I told you, we have four questions and then one secret question that I'll ask. And I want to tell folks just a little bit about you. And then we'll go on with the conversation. And then after Dorothy, we're going to have one last person, and that's Mary Watts. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Dorothy Beatty. She is a candidate for the 4th District seat on the Santa Rosa City Council. Dorothy has a successful career working in both large and small companies as an executive in banking and finance and systems development. Dorothy has built and executed business plans, managed budget, led massive process reengineering projects, designed systems, and led teams to implement these systems with an set of skills to help Santa Rosa at this critical juncture in our history. Dorothy moved to Santa Rosa in 1990. She has been a community volunteer, from mentoring at-risk teams to United Way's free tax preparation service. She and her partner of 25 years love this place and want to see it thrive for all of us, including their seven grandkids. Seven grandkids, huh, Dorothy?
Seven. One's in the Air Force now.
Well, congratulations. We just became great-grandparents. Oh, my God. It's actually a thrill. It really is. Well, we have these questions that I want to ask you. So we'll start with question number one. And you just talk in the mic. Don't worry. Ken controls all the sound. We'll make you sound real good. So don't worry about it. The first question I have for you is, now this should be right in your pocket because it looks like you've had a lot of experience in the financial world. How do you see the fiscal health of our city, Santa Rosa, and what do you believe is needed to improve on it?
Well, I believe everything that our prior speakers had to say on the budget. We are in dire straits, and we do have a lot of hard work to do. And I've been through this type of thing. Like here locally, I work for North American Mortgage, and that company would grow every time interest rates fell, and then it would shrink every time interest rates went up. And we always had hard decisions to make. And so we became very disciplined. You take a look at what your primary goals are, and then you take a look at what people you need to satisfy those primary goals. And as a city, our primary goals are really public safety and infrastructure. So I would look at the budget with a keen eye to our primary goals and make sure that we stay focused on those goals. But I would say that I think every one of your questions is actually kind of related to the same thing, and it's housing. Right now, the city has a plan to bring in a lot of developers and develop the downtown. If we could develop housing in the downtown, we could bring in more employers. If we could bring in more employers and get more people in good housing downtown, the city grows naturally. So I would also look at what are the opportunities for our own economic development and what does that growth depend on? And it depends on housing. So I want to do everything I possibly can to make sure that the plans that are already being put in place have a chance to flourish. I think we're at a turning point for our town to become a city and really grow up.
Well, so in other words, you almost think that we're going to have to go through some growing pains, and we have to start looking at things more practically and more honestly. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and to do everything we can to promote the growth of our city so that we can generate the revenues to pay for things like potholes and infrastructure. But that growth has to be in a downtown area where it can be quite dense, so that we can pick up the revenues from that housing growth and business growth without adding to our infrastructure cost.
Well, that's another question that we can segue. I was to talk about the homeless, but I'd like to segue into more of the rent control. Now, when you're talking about the city and improving and moving forward, what is your thought about, you know, the controversy around rent control and the rising cost of rents because there's no properties?
Yeah, I appreciate comments made earlier that it's really divisive. It created a polarization, and that's really unfortunate. I am not a proponent of rent control, and I listened to the program earlier on and learned that you lived in New York City. I also lived in New York City, and, you know, there was all that silliness. Never mind passing apartments down through generations, but if you wanted to get a rent-stabilized apartment, what they did was say, oh, it's furnished, and then you had to pay all these extra fees, and then you could get it. So I paid $1,000 once for a beanbag chair just to be able to get the apartment. Is a rent-controlled apartment. So a lot of weird non-economic stuff happens with rent control. So I don't believe that it's a policy that solves the issue that we have. The issue we have is not enough housing. So I'd like to see us build housing, and I think then this settles down naturally.
Yeah, I hear a lot about that. I mean, it was interesting in New York when I realized that family after family, I mean, it could be 100 years that someone would, I mean, you didn't even realize that the apartments were that old, that they were passing it down to generation to generation. It's interesting. I have mixed feelings about it myself as a consumer. I mean, I'm blessed I own my own home, so it's a little bit different. But still, I think about my grandchildren, they're renting, and some of the issues that they have to go up with some of these rents are just ridiculous. I'm wondering if it couldn't be twofold, if maybe helping people to look at their own budgets and look at, you know, maybe not to price gouge, maybe to have more fair, more sustainability. Maybe there's some sort of agreement that the city could come with its members that, you know, to do something like that.
It would be good to have some help for people who need it, but rent control is not means tested. So it's basically a game of musical chairs. If we passed it tomorrow, anybody in an apartment would be a beneficiary, whether they make $1 million or a dollar. So it doesn't help the people who actually need help, and then it creates a shortage going forward because people sort of claim those rent-controlled apartments and they want to pass them down to generation. They never let go of them. And so what happens to the next person who comes to town to take a job? There's not anything here. What happens to the next JC student? I am really concerned about the next person that comes to town because rents will go higher because there'll be fewer units and greater demand. And the other interesting thing is of all the people who are working and living in Santa Rosa, only 47% of those workers work in Santa Rosa. It's kind of a nasty thought, but we are affordable housing, just not to ourselves. We're affordable to San Rafael. We're affordable to San Francisco. We're affordable to Healdsburg. We are out of the 40 largest towns in the metro area, we're the 39th in terms of cost. We are cheap. We look free to San Francisco. And what's San Francisco is doing is allowing their workers to work remotely because it's so expensive in San Francisco. Then I've been door knocking and I've come across any number of young people at home, and I always ask them, what are you doing at home? Shouldn't you be at work? They are at work. They're working from home for a company in San Francisco.
Boy, times have really changed. You know, when you start thinking about, you know, I mean, I hate to put my age in, but, you know, we come from a whole different time set, a whole different time frame. It's interesting. Well, let's go to the next question because we're starting to run out of time here. I mean, this is very interesting, some of your conclusions. I really appreciate them. What do you think are the ways the city can address the homeless issue? What are some ideas of your ideas on how to implement them? And also, this is also part of the secret question. Remember I said there'd one. And that is, I did a bit of a survey, and people really want to know, is there not a better way? Because they've seen the people go into the police, go into the encampment, break them down, arrest people, find people, you know, throw them out of town, take all their goods. They want to know, isn't there a better way? And what ideas do you have around that issue?
Well, once again, it leads to building homes. We keep coming around to homes, don't we?
Yeah.
So we do have the Housing First strategy, and I appreciated Tom's remarks on that. Tom has done just tremendous work with it, and I've studied some of the papers that he's participated in. And Housing First is a great strategy. It says it's better to get a person inside of a home with a roof over their head and then help them with whatever other issues they have, mental or addiction or whatever, a dog. So that strategy works great if you have Housing First, which we don't. So what we're really facing is a gap between where we are now and where we know we will get. What do we do in that interim period? We don't have the housing today. And it's very difficult. And I heard somebody else say, how about Chenate? Why don't we house people in the old hospital up at Chenate? And I'll tell you, in my district, that wouldn't fly because Chenate's in my district. And so that points out one of the issues that we see over and over. And in this particular case, I think that's not a good facility for a number of reasons, one of which it's full of asbestos and the copper's been stripped out of it and it's dangerous. So I would ask everybody to get Sinead out of your thinking there. But the bottom line is any neighborhood you go to and you suggest this is a place we should have homeless be, they'll say no. They'll say no, absolutely. So it's really difficult. I really like what Catholic Charities is thinking about with Caritas and building a relatively large facility on the spot they're at now, the old General Hospital, because the model there is fabulous. It allows people to be reintroduced. And I think we heard Tom say earlier that if you offer people services and they don't take them, what can we do? And I was talking to Jenny Lynn Holmes about that, and she said, you know, it's interesting. In some ways, our homeless system of care created the chronic homeless because we wouldn't let them in. We wouldn't let them in because of addiction. We wouldn't let them in because they had a dog. And so we have to change the entry and allow them into services and reintroduce people who are chronically homeless back into society. It's almost like Stockholm Syndrome. It took over a year to get there, and their period of homelessness may be many years, and you can't just immediately say, oh, okay, come on in, here's a house. There's reentry that's required and social service that's required. It's really complicated, but our system of care is turned a corner, and it's now willing and able to say, please come home.
So you see some changes.
I see a lot of changes. I think the whole Housing First strategy is a tight change.
Well, you know, there's so much debate going on. It's you know, I hear it from so many different aspects, and the most important thing that I feel has to happen is that there's got to be a way, even though we have complex, there's got to be a way to be just a little bit more humane. You know, there's an old saying, there but poor fortune go you and I. You know, it's a really big problem. Well, we're at the end of our line, and you're doing wonderful. You're doing great for the first time on the radio. You're very clear and very articulate and some good suggestions. I really appreciate that. So here's the last part. You get to tell us anything that you would like us to know about you, anything that why you're running or what is it that you would like the folks to know about you as a person and why you feel that you would be.
I thought about this, and the thing I want everybody to know is that when any candidate is going through these, you know, solve homelessness in a minute and a half, and we all kind of laugh about that afterwards and say, it's such a complicated issue, how can we do that? I would say please reach out. My website, dorothy4forsantarosa.org, and let's just go chat and have a cup of coffee and talk through the issue. We don't do enough just talking to each other. And if we can all understand the same facts and same viewpoints, I think we can grow and learn and do the right things together. So I'm really about building consensus, listening to people, building teams, and working together as a team. It's not me saying what we're going to do. It's us saying what we're going to do. So the number one thing to know about me is I prefer to build consensus, and I love to talk to people and burrow into all the facts and understand a viewpoint and spend lots of time, not a minute and a half. So feel free to reach out. We'll have coffee any old time. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you. And also, it's so wonderful to hear you. And also, you're stepping into a time when you just have to handle a district, which makes it so much better to be able to satisfy your personality. Because I've walked the whole city for candidates. And I know now that we have a district, it makes a lot more sense. So thank you so much, Dorothy. Thank you so much. And that's Dorothy Beattie for running for the, you're running for the 4th District for the Santa Rosa City Council. I want to wish you much success. And thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, Elaine. Very much.
My pleasure, my friend. I gave you one of those cards, right?
Let
me make sure.
Great.
Okay. Well, folks, that's another. We're down to the last interview. I mean, this has really been exciting. We're going to finish up with that last song that we just sang, heard, and then at the end of the show, we're going to play a very special song that I know everybody's going to love. So we're going to play the rest of the song, and I'm going to go out and get Mary Watts.
In there, vote them out. That's what election day is all about. The biggest gun we've got is called the ballot box. So if you don't like who's in there, vote them out. Vote them out.
Vote them out.
Vote them out.
Vote them out.
And when they're gone, we'll sing and dance and shout. They bring some new ones in. We'll start that show again. And if you don't like who's in there, vote them out. If it's a bunch of clowns you voted in, election day is coming round again. If you don't like it now, if it's more than you'll allow, if you don't like who's in there, vote them out. Vote them out.
Vote them out.
Vote them out.
Vote them out.
And when they're gone, we'll sing and dance and shout. Bring some new ones in, and we'll start the show again. If you don't like who's in there, vote them out. Vote them out. That's what election day is all about. The biggest gun we've got is called the ballot box. If you don't like who's